Rarotonga is like the great and powerful Oz, or a bunch of Ozes. They have all the answers about smart car buying and no curtain to sit behind.
In fact, they are transparent about when to buy or when to lease and what financing works best. Plus, you can count on a showroom full of Rorik's, like CRVs, Odysseys, Fits, and more. Online help is always available, and as always, visit Rorik.com for all of your vehicle needs.
And now we start the Jagoff podcast for this week from way up here in Slippery Rock at North Country Brewing.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word Jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word Jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the... out of you.
Yeah, Jagoff.
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, Jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
This is Kevin Wild Bill.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle.
Hi, this is Rocky Blyer.
Hey, it's Rick Sivak.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Santonio Holmes.
And this is the Jagoff Podcast.
This is the Jagoff Podcast. If you're listening for the very first time, we would like you to hit pause and go subscribe on radio.com or wherever you get your podcast, because we want you to hear us every week, because we talk all about the cool things going on in Pittsburgh
and around,
all around Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah. We made the big trek to Slippery Rock. We're in a different county. We're in Butler.
Right.
Yeah.
We are in
I thought it was
county.
Further than that, but it's just Butler. So.
You'll come to know from listening to previous podcasts that Rachel has no geographical
idea.
Orientation.
I've been in Pittsburgh for 40-some years.
She gets out of the car at the grocery store and goes the wrong way towards the front door.
Okay.
So this is the podcast. We want you to listen. And normally this is where we talk about what was on the blog this week, yajagoff.com.
Right.
Where
you
we point
did
out
most
Jagoff.
Of the writing, but I will say... You covered the massive bird explosion that was happening.
Right.
And then everybody was disappointed because they said it wasn't that bad.
Right. The pandemic is not bad enough and everything else going on. Now they're going to tell us the birds. So, yeah, it didn't really happen.
I
washed my car and no birds pooped on it.
What about the parallel parking versus isosceles?
Right.
That was you,
so down there
I'm not
Bellevue,
a math person.
There is a car that was, you look at the picture on the blog, it's isosceles triangle parking versus parallel parking because they were clearly out. You had enough to put a parking chair in between the car and the
curb. And we found that on our walk,
right.
Which is the perfect
because
segue.
We're healthy.
As we're pounding beers and nachos. And speaking of our walk, we do the Bellevue walk every day. And I did a shout out to the Bellevue street cleaners because, oh dear Lord, they are street cleaning mofos.
I will tell you that they are the Bellevue streets are cleaner than the inside of my car.
Yeah.
Well, right? There are no french fries down on the corner of the curb in Bellevue.
True, but there's a lot of other things. But Bellevue is super clean.
Right.
And then you talked about, you've told me about your prior EMS days and how crazy this story is.
So in McKee's Rocks, there was a fire, and somebody parked near the fire hydrant, unfortunately. And so the firefighters put the hose right through the window.
It.
You're
Did
lost,
you guys see
big
that?
Guy.
It was crazy.
You're
yeah,
lost,
they
big
literally
guy, so.
Like went straight
that's
through.
That's a Jagoff move for sure.
Ba-doom.
So that's what we do. We call out Jagoffs on the blog every day, other than Tuesday when the podcast goes up. So on this podcast this week.
Yes, we have to set this up. So we've become friends with Melinda Calese because we met her, I'm going to say, through a press release about Women Who Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how it happened. So we literally had her, for those of you who watch and listen consistently, Melinda was just on our Sarah's Candies episode about a month and a half ago. And from that, she ended up sending us another press release about this place and the fact that she has this super cool beer.
Yeah,
I mean, look at how beautiful is
Melinda
that?
And the Night Sky, for those of you listening to the podcast.
But listen, guys, it's not like they just took a picture of the band and slapped it on
right.
a can. So that's why we're here, because we want to learn about
it's like the old-time album cover art. Yeah. It's really a piece of work of art here.
Yeah, so we're super excited because we get to hear Melinda with her band live. And if you're on Facebook Live, you get to hear it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to talk to all these people who have something to do with the canning, the brewery, the art of drinking. The art of drinking.
Right. Listen.
Right?
So, right. If you don't really want to go out and buy beer, you make your own, and then you start your own brewing, right?
Room. Yeah.
So
sure.
Now,
we have to get pictures of
this. Here's my test.
Oh.
John.
Nope.
No. No, I know them all, but
okay.
John, Bob, and Marina.
Job.
Boom. How about that?
He
I am not the name
some
guy.
Time. Did you notice that?
I am as bad at He's names like, as Rachel is at directions. So you guys, welcome.
These are stupid dad jokes, and you're all laughing.
Welcome to the podcast, you guys. Yes.
Thanks for invite, man.
Love it here. We've only been here about a half an hour, but we may move in.
Yeah.
This is so cool. Who wants to start? Basically, we have a bunch of questions for you, but we need to identify what your roles are so that people can understand this whole process that really everybody in Slippery Rock knows about at this point, right? So
yeah.
you're the founder. Yeah.
Yep.
How did this start? I mean, I did my homework, but we want to know.
It's a bit of a twisted path, you know, just love of beer and ice melting and trying to pass chemistry class.
Yeah, there's that. Sure.
And then ice kept melting and kept running out of beer, so ended up brewing our own.
So you found John. John, go. Yep. What happened then?
It's actually a crazy story. Bob and Jody worked for my dad at the Harmony Inn.
Okay.
And he sold them the inn back in 2013 and brought me on over at the pub. I started off cellaring, ended up moving over here, doing a lot of worked my way up to now the head brewer position. So it's kind of a...
And what is that like? I mean, like you said, you sort of start out as like, okay, I'm doing this thing, but it really is a science. And how has that sort of evolved and made you guys what you are at this point?
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, it's not like I just kind of got thrown
through
in.
Things,
yeah, threw
right.
things together. I've been home brewing for over 20 years.
Before it was a thing.
Yeah, before it was a thing.
Okay.
My dad, the Harmony Inn, was a one of the first craft beer bars in Pennsylvania.
Which is how I found it. Yeah.
Okay.
And went off to Edinburgh University, and you can't afford good beer, so...
Yeah.
So natty light, and then you come back and realize what you need, right?
Yeah, and then you decide the only way to get that good beer is to make it.
And what is that process like? I mean, if you can say from, you know, a layperson's standpoint, right? What is that process like?
It's actually a fairly simple process. I mean, that's why homebrewers do it all over the place.
Sure.
It's just being able to repeat it and being
consistent.
Yes,
right.
Basically, we're just taking just... four simple ingredients, just malt, malted barley, water, hops, and yeast. And
you make it sound so easy, right?
I know, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It goes down easy.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So,
Bob, when you were doing this, like, was there something else you were kind of doing and like, I'd like to get into a business? Or was it just beer? You knew it was going to be beer making all along. Yeah.
Well, actually, initially, like, restaurants paid for 2/3 of my schooling, and I waited on tables and bartended, you know, and, you know, I was in the field of my degree for a while, did archaeology and traveled for work and loved working outside, loved being outside, and, but, you know, it got to the point where either get back to school, get a bigger degree, or, you know, you start liking traveling all the time, and so it was just a shift, you know, that's the twisted path of it, really, is just like, it was either... go back, get my doctorate, or, you know, open a business, really. And then Jody and I wanted to do something together, and she continued to manage restaurants, actually. So it was something we could do together and just, you know, give it a whirl, give it a chance.
Yeah, I love it.
And that's so organic.
So let's go back to you, John. You know, there's got to be, first of all, the beer we're drinking is very good, right? So, but let's talk about when you were brewing, like, Bob comes to you when he's got a couple in the, you know, in the belly somewhere, and he goes, I think we should make a beer that tastes like whatever. And you're like, what's the worst beer you've made, even prior to working here, right? Because they're all good here. But what's the worst? And I'll lead that up while you're thinking. I'm going to tell you that.
Journalists are not supposed to ask those questions, right? But, like, like, stupid John.
But no, but so here I'm going to,
as
you're thinking, I'll tell you the stories. One day we were playing hockey, and we have beer after hockey because it's all about the beer. And the guy said, hey, guys, I have a whole quarter keg over there of chocolate beer. Anybody want any? We're like... That's a mistake, right? Right. So
not always,
there's no,
though.
Yeah. But anyway, so tell us about the flavors you've had, maybe the,
like those gone wrong kind of thing.
Yeah,
like
right.
And error.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because Bob, I can see Bob. He's like, let's do this.
Bob
like,
has oh, four, and John's like, how do I politically correctly say this?
We did do a taco here.
It was good though. I mean, it.
What was
like,
it?
Chocolate.
Taco
no,
beer.
Taco.
Oh, taco.
Yeah. Cinco de Mayo. Right.
Yes.
But the cilantro and the beef broth, I mean, we used real ingredients, so it was real taco beer.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Did people like it, obviously? No? Yes?
I had a lot of good comments, yeah. It took me to the party,
crazy.
Even, yeah.
Yeah.
People,
That was after the fifth one.
That it tasted like a taco, but tacos aren't meant to be drank.
Right.
Right.
Right. Okay, that's good.
So flip that. What is the most commonly, like, people say, hey, I'm going here, and, you know, tell me what I should get. What are they saying?
Our Firehouse Red is by far our biggest seller.
Is that? Is there a reason? Is it over the top, or is it kind of a basic start with that?
No, it's just a good, easy drinking.
Dude, it's called Firehouse.
Firehouse Red. And the proceeds for that go to, the draft proceeds go to our local firehouse here.
Get the heck out.
Yeah, John, read your show notes. Because, listen, these people are super philanthropic.
I was going to say, and speaking of that, we have another beer that Patrick gave us that you also, that's a philanthropic beer. What is this beer here? Well, as we're recording the podcast, it's called For the People.
That's a picture of our chef for the back of the house and a picture of Sarah, one of our field representatives. And for the front of house position there. So for the service industry folks through this pandemic, you know, we just wanted to do something and get something together for everybody.
Yep. Yeah, I love it.
And Melinda's too, right? The Melinda's beer is for more of the save the stage kind of thing for the performers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was originally done for the women who balk.
Okay.
And, the women who rock, I'm sorry.
We
were going to have that's why we did the Hell's
Bock. The women
Bock,
who
bock.
Are they pitchers?
We edit.
Are they pitchers? Or is it Bock?
Like, we just have beer names in our heads.
That's why we did the Hell's Bock, because it was going to be women who bock.
Sure.
And then we were going to donate the proceeds towards that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, yeah.
I love it. That's so cool. And the artistry is beautiful.
So first of all, people should come to this place to see it. Your restaurant is amazing. When we rolled in there today, mistakenly, we were like, we've been here before.
We've been here.
And we love the food.
Yeah.
And then we rolled into here, and this place is amazing. You can socially distance if you're afraid of that. And it's wonderful. But where else, if people don't make the trek to Butler, where else can they get your beers at this point? Are they retail somewhere?
We are thankful to have Vicini's distributing us in Southwest PA, and Ermey's just north of us for Mercer County North.
Yeah,
And we're lucky to have some good distributors on our picking up the beer, getting it to where it needs to be, and love the fact that people are picking it up.
But so that people understand, because I think it's important to make the trek here. I mean, in my opinion, because it's not a trek at all. I'm being facetious because. You know, you're not driving very far to come to Slippery Rock, and you have to enjoy the experience. But what's the difference between the two locations? Like, are you getting the same crowd of people? Are people actually stopping in here for a beer? Are they coming here to sort of see how the whole thing works?
Both, actually, yeah. Okay. I mean, once people realize we have the cannery here, the Mug Clubbers were kind of the first to populate it.
Okay.
And, we're dog friendly, and
I know
we
I've
have
seen that.
Happy hour on Fridays, and just love, you know, having everybody come over and. Hang out outside.
It's like the biggest living room ever for you, right?
Right. Yeah,
it is. It really is.
It is like a big garage party. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Al, go ahead.
Yesterday, when people started showing up, coming in, having a beer, the canning line right behind you guys was running, so they get the chance to see it.
Yeah,
okay. Get to see it.
That's awesome.
It's kind of like when we toured Wiggle Whiskey.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's like the same.
Right.
So I'm going to let you get the word right, because remember I kept saying it wrong?
What?
What Marina's... What's she notorious?
Aquaponics. So, yeah. So
he says it so well,
the
too.
Cool thing is that because we're a cheap-ass podcast, we only have four microphones, so we're
Welcome
switching
to
microphones.
Cheap-ass podcast.
So, Marina, you're in charge of the aquaponics. Now, here's where the great... I remember, I think, aquaponics from my early Disney days when you would go float through, after It's a Small World, you go float some other place.
Isn't and that
you,
funny?
And you had that stupid song in your head, and then you'd see all the vegetables hanging in water, right? Yeah. Is that what you're doing here?
Yes, I think
they started
with hydroponics first. I think they have evolved to aquaponics now, but hydroponics is simply water and plants, and you're adding in your own nutrients. Aquaponics adds in a component of aquaculture. So now you're using fish, and the fish waste creates that nutrients, and so you no longer have to add in the nutrients yourself.
How cool is that?
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
So how do you, you have a cool job then.
I mean, have a very cool
seriously,
job.
Seriously, how did that come to be? And, are you person here in Slippery Rock? Like, if you needed the aquaponics person, go to that
I
girl.
Hate every one of them because they all paid attention in science class.
I know,
right?
And I didn't. And everyone, here we are.
Hate
That's
them.
Actually Which? Not true.
Okay. So how did this come to be for you?
I actually got to Slippery Rock in 2018 for my master's program.
Okay.
I started at Slippery Rock for a master's in adapted physical activity. And there was this crazy professor there who had started this transition program for students with intellectual and developmental disabilities. He wanted a very unique program, so he asked another Bob down the downtown and asked if aquaponics would be a possibility, and they created the program. So I came in as a graduate assistant. And I haven't left.
So those of who weren't on the ride at Disney, explain how this all happens. Do you start with seeds, and what do you do there?
Yeah, so everything is started from seed. So the first thing you need to do is get your system and your fish running. And the fish will culture the water for the plants to be ready to receive the nutrients. So once the fish do their business...
I think you need to feed them the taco beer to get
business.
That, right?
Yeah.
John's like, yeah.
John's like, I'm still thinking about that.
So they excrete their waste, and they have a chemical breakdown that happens, and there's two chemicals, ammonia and nitrate. You can guess where the ammonia comes from.
Yeah.
And the nitrate comes from the other one.
Okay.
They create nitrate. Nitrate is plant nutrients at its purest form. So that circulates throughout the system. The plant roots are saturated in the water. There's no soil in the system at all. So they soak up that nutrients, and the water continues back to the fish tank, clean and ready for the fish to be in a better environment. So they're creating
That's so
a symbiotic
cool.
relationship.
Let me ask you this. When
you make
we,
it sound so pretty.
When we get
I mean,
done,
the process is not
right.
pretty.
When we get done with the podcast, we always have each guest do a quick video about what they talked about. Is it possible when we do that video that you would do it in front of the aquaponic
oh, absolutely.
Area so people
we
can kind of see
We have two systems
it?
To pick from.
What?
Colin, don't forget
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's totally cool. That's So
cool.
So this was science your bailiwick at some point? No.
Never.
That's a word this week.
Yeah, it is.
Never.
We need a new beer called bailiwick.
I'm not kidding.
I was thinking a beer can of Jagoff sounds
good.
Oh,
we're in.
Or instant
we're in.
Jagoff. Yeah.
We're in.
We are in, but go ahead. Sorry.
No, I like to tell people that aquaponics can be done with zero knowledge at all. I had seen a system once, and that was my prereq to getting my first position. So
wow.
So it really doesn't need a lot, and once you start actually putting your hands into the system, it starts to come to you very easily.
And are you like a one-person show? Like, is that process a one-person thing, or does it require?
Well, the reason for our program is that we are a transition program. So because of that, I am not a one-woman show. I actually have typically, without quarantine, I would have at least 20 participants or students with disabilities, and they're doing all of the system work, not me. When we're in quarantine, yes, I am a one-woman show, but currently we've been blessed to be able to bring back three employees, and now we have two students back in the system from high schools. So.
So let's talk about what happens to these things you grow. What are you growing, and what happens to them once they're grown?
Yeah. Yes. We grow a very large variety of things, but we try to cater it to each restaurant. So our deck system that you can see right up there is kind of dedicated to the tap room. So whatever Chef Dale over there wants, we grow for him. Your plate actually has our leek, onion, and cilantro microgreens topping it.
Mm.
And in the meatball sub today, there's basil and chives that we grow. So we do a lot of variety of lettuces, herbs. We're trying our hand in tomatoes. We do a lot of kales. And then microgreens are a really big market, too.
Wow.
I love this.
And you like the taste, clearly.
The canning is only about the beers. You're not canning any vegetables at this point,
no.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
Is that next, Bob? I feel he's like, oh, just
stay
wait.
With the beer.
Come back next year. That didn't really surprise me. You guys have
this.
Such an amazing story.
Yeah.
I hate that it took this long for us to really even know. I mean, this is great. And there's merchandise. I love the growing together, obviously.
Talk about the special needs folks that are benefiting and working here. What's their level as far as what are their special needs and as far as working
How
with
does
them?
That look?
How
Absolutely.
Do they apply? Their skills apply to the work.
Absolutely. So we typically try to shoot for intellectual and developmental disabilities, but with a lot of disabilities, you have secondary conditions, so there are physical disabilities as well. But our main goal is to be able to adapt any of our activities or things that they have to do in the job to be able to be done by anyone. So at the high school level, they'll come in and they work through a 10-week curriculum. At the end of that curriculum, they are moving on into either a stewardship or leadership role. And then as the we used to have an adult population that came in pre-quarantine. And they worked on just job training skills and just working on a task that they could get to the point where they're independent. So okay. the goal here is to get to independency and to job training. So some of our students have actually gone on to be hired at the North Country Brewing Pub
okay.
and move up that way. And our main goal is to have a facility large enough to have full-time inclusive employment.
I love that.
Bob, this what has to come story. Under your direction somewhere along the way. So how God. Did it get to that point? Is it a personal connection?
It's just beautiful the way it happened, actually. When Dr. Bob approached me yeah. and made the suggestion, I was just like, yeah, absolutely.
It
let's
just
do
made
this.
Sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And the growing together
And you're
together
the only
part,
ones doing that like, around in this area?
I believe so, yeah. yeah. I'm pretty
okay.
sure.
In this yep. area, yep. yeah. It's becoming more popular in Pittsburgh, but not with the same connections.
Uh-huh. Marina, really, I mean, she just was dynamic with setting the system up and organizing everything together and with the students and the changing, and especially this year, you know, with all the changes we've had,
yes.
To keep it all going and yeah. two systems going by ourselves was amazing.
Right.
So we're lucky, man, to have these people surrounding us, and that's part of the growing together. You know, it's just really, really good time to be in Slippery Rock.
I yeah. love it. I love it so
I
much.
I don't want to let them go.
No, right?
But listen,
wait,
unfortunately,
were we just sleeping over?
There's more people waiting.
Are we sleeping over?
yeah. We have to talk to more peeps.
We have to do a question
too.
Of the day, though. We have
yeah,
the mayor.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so we know, we have the mayor coming up. We have the folks from Autism Speaks coming up. And Melinda is coming on with her band. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hang out here. But we have a question of the day, everybody.
Melinda and the Night Sky.
Yeah.
Melinda and her band.
Got it. Okay.
Anyway, so the question.
She's just waiting.
The question of the day is, ready? Do you accept this challenge? Because you've had a lot of hard questions. This is the toughest one.
Unless you want this microphone.
All right. Finish this sentence. I will have a beer and a...
Another beer.
Great.
Thanks,
that's
John.
A good question.
Thanks, John.
That's a good
I don't have to call anybody. He's right here.
Yeah.
Phone a friend. Okay.
There you go.
All right. All right.
A beer and another beer. John?
And another beer.
I will have a beer and I give you my answer.
You can
yeah.
use the same answer.
You can use the same line. I mean, it was
yeah,
yours.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Fair enough.
All right.
We gave you enough time. Come on, Marina.
This is actually awkward because I don't drink.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah.
I'll have a root beer and a...
I'll have a root beer and French fries.
Okay.
Oh,
there
you okay.
go.
Nice.
You guys are awesome to talk to. Where does everybody find you on social media? How can they find out more about this? Talk to us. Internet, yep. social.
We have North Country Tap Room. The Tap Room has a Facebook page.
Okay.
The Cannery also has its own
yes.
brew pub and at the Harmony Inn
okay.
is our spot.
And are you doing tours that they can come up and kind of see? Obviously not right
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah.
But, okay.
No, definitely. Anytime.
Cool. Anytime.
We'll make it work, right?
All right.
Mm-hmm.
If they come up and go, Bob, we want to tour you at
Jagoff. Well, actually, for the aquaponics,
what
do
they get? Oh, yeah?
It depends on the class
yeah,
that you have.
Yeah, the classes,
so.
Sure.
Oh, right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We'll put
yeah,
all that
anytime.
In the show notes right. so that people can follow. And,
yeah.
You know,
cool.
We appreciate the hospitality.
Bob,
so.
John, Marina, thank you very,
thank
very
you
much.
Yeah.
We really
thanks,
appreciate
guys.
You hosting
we
us. The beer is really good, and the nachos are good. Rachel knows because I burped twice in her face.
And it smells. I'm not going to lie. It smells. Like, that is friendship right
Coming
there.
Up, we're going to talk to the mayor of Slippery Rock, who's 10.
I can see your tongue is twisted, trying to turn me upside down. Can I keep up when I listen?
Nothing's so, I mean, I put together all these show notes, and then John's like, let me ask you guys a few questions about Slippery Rock. So, you know, you guys can kind of take the show because it doesn't matter what I have here
yeah.
because he wants to know, like, the down and dirty, what came first, the school or the community,
yeah.
right? Is that
yeah.
what you want to know?
Yeah. But first of all, introduce yourselves.
Sure. sure.
Right?
Wow.
Well, thank you so much for having me. We're big
Are
fans
you
of yours, so thank you very much.
Oh,
you're
dude,
cute.
That was a
thank
good
you.
Move right
homework.
There.
No,
Two
no,
beers
no,
in, and you knew what
well,
to say.
I did. You know, and I knew whenever I heard you, Jagoff, I said, I know this name. And so I went online, of course, and I was listening to a couple
Get
of your shows.
What a smart
ahead
guy.
Of time, and I knew I liked these folks.
Oh,
I could tell by your name.
Good,
but
you're good.
Well,
you're
before
good.
You introduce your cohort, I have to say, I did the same with you. And I said, listen, a mayor who has this kind of following, you post on social media regularly.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
That's I'm too young to be mayor.
Well, I say it with respect. I'm sorry.
Darn it. I told him I went on a college tour, and now I'm a ma'am.
It's a hard habit for me to break. Sorry
you're fine,
about
you're
that.
You're fine. You're just respectful.
Mademoiselle.
You're, there you go. You're just respectful. But I thought it was super cool because
Thank
I think
you.
That that's a way, you know, some people would say, well, social media, it's for the dogs. Who wants to yeah. do it? But ultimately, that's the major and main means of communication anymore. So you're kind of staying up and
thank you.
With it all, right?
Yeah.
So how long have you been in office?
Yeah. So I'm in my third year of my office, right?
Okay.
It's a four-year term.
Yeah.
Again, my name is Mayor John David Longo.
Yes.
My friends call me JD. This is Councilman Denton Zeronis.
Yes.
He serves on the council
that's
here in town.
That's a great councilman
they
first
both
name.
Have good
Denton.
Names.
I mean, Zeronis is a good one, too, but Denton, that's like
how
a soap opera
how many
name.
Do you know?
None
yet.
Exactly.
Like, my soap opera name would be Lance Mannion. It used to be Lance Mannion, but I might want to take Denton.
Where did that come from? I don't know. But anyway, so 3 years in,
yes.
And what I got your story kind of off air, but tell everybody how this happened. You started out in the Pittsburgh area, and you've made your way north.
Yeah, so I graduated from Beaver Area High School in 2008, but before that, my family made their way around the Pittsburgh area. At one point, we lived in Mount Washington, and then we moved down the river a little bit closer to Swickley, and eventually we ended up in Beaver. Then I joined the Marine Corps out of high school.
Okay.
I initially joined as a reservist, but ended up doing some time on active duty.
Thanks for your service.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I was an infantry rifleman, so I went on a deployment to Afghanistan, spent some time out there, went to Latvia, saw some other places in the world. When I came home, I said, okay, it's time to go to school. And my grandmother actually went to Slippery Rock in the 60s.
Cool, right?
It wasn't Slippery Rock University then. It was Slippery Rock State College at the time. And she was in education, of course. So that was one of the great places that you could go if you wanted to be a teacher. Immediately she said, well, why not Slippery Rock? And I said, I'm going to go check it out. And I fell in love with the community. So I ended up buying my home here and did my undergrad and my master's back-to-back. I actually worked here at North Country for 5 years during that time. This is home for me here at North Country,
wow.
So it's great
isn't
to come
cool?
back.
That, I
it's just like Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah,
6 degrees.
I got goosebumps from that. That's totally
and is
cool.
your story similar, completely different? Are you
sort of
native?
No, I actually, I grew up about like 45 minutes northwest of here. Okay. I went to Reynolds High School, and I had a lot of friends that came up here to Slippery Rock. So whenever I was looking at colleges and universities, I knew I was going to go into teaching. So I wanted to try to, you know, find a university that is known for a stellar teaching program. And then I realized that, you know, Slippery Rock reminds me a lot of home. You know, at Reynolds I had a bowling lane and a Sheetz and a lot of corn, and Slippery Rock has three gas stations.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And
the
technically
big town,
two
yeah.
NCBs.
You're supposed to talk us up here, Denton. We've done a lot of growth here, though, in the last
yes.
few years.
You have. Yeah? Absolutely. Yeah.
And, yeah, so I started working at North Country Brewery. That's wherever I met Mayor
crazy.
Longo here. And
how about you just call him Mayor?
Yeah, right.
Jesus.
We say Mayor.
Mayor.
Alligator.
Yeah.
My friends call me JD. You call me. Oh,
okay, cool.
Call me JD.
I love it.
Thanks,
Denton.
Yeah,
thank you, Councilman.
He had mentioned that he wanted to start getting involved in the community. I know that, you know, he was here a little bit longer than what I have been, but he was starting to look for people who also wanted to go ahead and start trying to bring a positive change into the town and try to get people together. And he had asked me if I was interested in doing something like that, and I said, sure. So we started running, had both got on, and we've been having progress ever since.
And when you say progress and growth, what does that look like? Because every community is different as far as what the goals and expectations are for growth. You know, and I have to say, I actually sit on the school board for North Hills, and we have a lot of Slippery Rock graduates who are teachers. It's crazy. It is
yeah.
true.
It's amazing. Slippery Rock really is a town known around the world.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in say, like the airport in Rome, say. My family still lives in Italy, so when I travel back, you would
love
be surprised.
It. Love it.
You would be surprised how many times I see a Slippery Rock hat or a hoodie, and I'm like, wow, you know, I can't even, I cross the ocean,
yeah.
and Slippery Rock is still with me. But, you know, when you talk about what that looks like or what progress
sure.
looks like for us, you know, coming into office, it was very important, one, that that we put a face and a voice to our local government. You know, as a two-time alumnus of Slippery Rock University, I love my alma mater, of course, but I thought, and I think that I speak for Councilman Zeronis as well, that it's really important that our community finally start to have a face and a voice that's separate or outside of the university
yeah.
community as
mm-hmm.
well. You know,
sure.
there are people in this community that, you know, don't work at the university. They don't go to school or they didn't go. So we need to have, you know, some of our own identity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we definitely started working to that. I think we noticed, you know, you mentioned social media and my use of it. Coming into office, You know, we had public servants here, I think, that weren't nearly as accessible or transparent, perhaps, as I'd like to think that we are. And, you know, using Facebook and social media is just a step in that direction. It's
sure.
constantly being accessible to your constituents and
right.
to even folks who are not from Slippery Rock,
sure.
say parents of students who right. send their kids here to go to school. So that was really important for us. Growth more than anything was very important to us. You know, over these last few years, I mean, we have had 11 businesses open up. So in the last 3 years since Councilman Zaronis and I came into office, and it's definitely a team effort, so it's not just us, of
yeah.
course.
Sure.
We've had 11 businesses. In fact, you know, we were waiting on a couple more to open, but unfortunately COVID
sure.
put a halt to that. But we're really proud of that growth. And finally, too, I think when it comes to making sure that you're being a good steward of taxpayer dollars, mm-hmm. right? We saw a lot of instances where we thought that there was some extreme wasteful spending, and we said, we have to put a stop to this, and we have to use our voice mm-hmm. In our office to do that. And I'm proud to say that since we've taken office, we haven't raised taxes. We've actually saved a ton of money for the taxpayers of the borough. And we've also expanded services without raising those taxes or
sure.
you know increasing tax revenue. So I'm really proud of that more than anything.
I love the fact that you know I'm the oldest one of this gang right here, and
yeah,
I watch Rachel and I watched her do the school board thing, and I watch the phone calls and the emails and the time that it takes to do that, and I look at you guys
did
and I say, wow,
again, yeah. like, did I do it
and
now?
I look at the age of you guys, and I think that's so awesome that you're interested in
true,
taking
yeah.
that on
from a youthful standpoint,
and let alone the growth. So I will get to my other question later, but my question right now is that, so what is it? How do you make people or entice people like your age group to move to Slippery Rock when we know that the city's the hustling, bustling thing, right? It might be the city of Butler. It might be the city of Pittsburgh. But what are you sort of looking
What's
at a certain demographic
yeah.
where you want, and what are they looking for when you're drawing
sure,
them here?
Sure. So it's important, before I say anything else, that everybody's welcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm always
Good
telling
point.
Folks, anytime they even flirt with the idea, they say, oh, we're looking for a house. You know, they might live 2 hours away, and I say, hey, we have some beautiful homes in Slippery Rock. This is a community where you can come to work, you can come to play, you can come to get a quality education at Slippery Rock University, you can give your kids a quality education at Slippery Rock Area High School, Slippery Rock Area School District, I should say. So we have it all. And, you know, an important piece of that puzzle for us was enticing businesses and entrepreneurs to come and invest in our community so that we could start to grow the opportunities and the options that potential, you know, townsfolk or folks who might be thinking, I might like
right.
to come to this community, would be able to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just, you know, a couple of gas stations. And he's
yeah,
exaggerating when
right,
he says that.
Yeah,
but still,
right,
you know,
right.
it's having all of those different mm-hmm. Restaurants and having all of these different businesses opening. And I think what really puts us in a place for success is we are at the crossroads of civilization. You know, we're just off 79 and I-80. Mm-hmm. We have, in addition to the university, you know, you have enterprise like Iron Mountain. You have the Grove City area and the outlets mm-hmm. in particular. We're really not that far away from Cleveland, from Buffalo,
right.
even from Toronto, say. So we have the opportunity to draw in a lot of traffic, you know.
We're close to Toronto.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that.
So we're talking about the future. So my question is from the back, going back there. Slippery Rock, was it a college town that and then, or was it a town then a college?
So there was definitely and certainly very much so a community here before
okay.
Academia made its way
okay.
to town. What's cool about where we're at, you know, talking about our proximity to other places, you know, this community used to be known as Centerville at one point. So technically our town was founded in 1841. It wasn't for a few years down the road. I want to say it was in the 1890s that we adopted the name Slippery Rock.
I have it in
my as the story goes, it was, you know, our post office was named for Slippery Rock. And so we eventually decided to
okay.
Call the town that. Now the academic institution came around in 1889. Okay, so a little bit further down the line. There and if you're wondering how we got the name Slippery Rock, the story goes, the lore is that General Washington had sent an expedition, you know, some soldiers up here because they were at the time they say the Seneca Indians were having some skirmishes or harassing you know some folks in the area, and I guess they put the soldiers on the run. So as the soldiers were crossing the creek, they were able to get across safely because they were wearing you know, good boots. Well, the story goes that the Indians themselves slipped on a rock, and
that
was the name.
Wow.
What they say was the creek, so hence Slippery Rock.
How about that?
It's a great name too.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you say creek or crick?
I say crick.
Yeah.
But he said creek so well.
What other business? You mentioned Iron Mountain. What other businesses are here?
So that's just a little bit outside of town. But, you know, let's talk about the businesses that have opened here just in the last 3 years. I know it doesn't seem like much, but this is huge for us. We had a Taco Bell open up here. We had a Dunkin' Donuts open hill. We had, here. We had a Big Shot Bob's House of Wings.
There's an ESPN. My kids will be
You're on the map there. The Rennebeck kids are on their way to Slippery Rock.
Right. There's a Thai restaurant that's trying to open right now, and they should be opening here imminently. You just spoke with Mr. McCaffrey. He and his brother were about to actually open up a beautiful coffee shop and bakery that unfortunately was halted because of COVID-19. But they had a grand opening date. We were ready to go. And then, of course, you know, shutdown. So those are just to name a few.
So you can send a press release to us.
But quality of life stuff too, right?
Right?
What's that?
You can send a press release when you're ready to open. I love coffee and
that's
I love Slippery
Rock.
Up,
yeah. But quality of life, there's so much to do on the outside here, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And what I love about this area is that if you are in the nature, you know, if you want to go mountain biking, you want to go hiking, you want to go canoeing or kayaking, this is the place to do it, you know. And Denton is an avid outdoorsman, so he could speak a little bit to that too.
Yeah, I mean, I love kayaking either at Moraine, Slippery Rock Creek, camping out. There's plenty of hiking trails. There's so much to do here. If you are somebody who enjoys the outdoors, if you're somebody who enjoys really spending time in nature and doing that, and I think it's one of the things that's kind of a really big charm factor for Slippery Rock and something that Bob McCaffrey himself has capitalized on as well, because he's pretty much in the same boat there. So I think there's plenty of beautiful opportunities to go out there and explore some of the more scenic routes around the town here.
Yeah, no, well, we'd agree on the drive up here. It is a great town. So we appreciate you guys even coming to hang out with us.
Sure.
Like, you make us
so
feel
much.
Important. Your Secret Service folks were very, very kind.
They checked the parameters.
Or they just guys that said they had to taste beer for you.
Yes.
Because I
hear
five
smart.
Into it right
they're
now. They're like, we taste his beer for him.
They're incognito right now. You never know who's around. So.
Right.
Before we ask you guys the question of the day, where can everyone follow you so they can learn more about Slippery Rock, more about your office, and go
great,
ahead.
Fantastic. So the borough, of course, has its own website. And
sure.
If you Google Slippery Rock,
you
will see the university website come up, and you'll see our website come up as well. But I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram. If you type in Mayor Longo, you'll be able to find
easy.
Me. And it's really great, too. I don't just use my social media presence, to talk about myself. It's very much a medium through which we can talk about the goings-on happening in town and business and important matters that are being discussed by our council and local government. And while I'm at it, too, I did want to just say, since we're at a brewery and North Country is taking place in it, we are throwing our first ever community Oktoberfest on Saturday, October 3rd. And we are going to have a ton of local breweries, distilleries, and eateries that are going to be with us at Slippery Rock Area Parks and Rec.
So we're going to see you guys
again.
Holy smokes, that one we need a driver for.
Yeah.
Colin.
I should mention, too, we have a beautiful hotel here in town, too, just in case you need a place to stay.
I'm not driving them home. No that's cool.
And where do we find you?
Me, I'm also, just as you said, on the Slippery Rock Borough website, Facebook, Twitter.
Okay.
Those are usually the three biggest avenues
good
you
places.
Find me.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right,
very
guys,
cool.
Here's the question. It's a tough one. I mean, you guys answered everything else okay, but this one is, so I have a beer, right? What's going with it? I'll have a beer and a blank.
Immediately, my thought goes to a Leroy Brown Burger from North Country Brewing Company.
You can't say the same thing.
Okay.
You can't.
But
like
what
that,
if he likes
that, because it went, listen,
what
it's
if he
like
likes
taking...
It?
Because that's what they did on the last time. We need more info.
So if he's going with the Leroy Brown, which is the signature burger from North Country Brewery, one of my favorite foods is chicken and waffles.
Oh my God. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So if I'm at North Country, absolutely a beer and a chicken and waffle. Or if I'm at a place that doesn't have chicken and waffles, I'll see if they have like a side of waffle and a couple of chicken tenders. I'll just make it myself.
And make it yourself.
Listen.
It's a thing.
I do not understand chicken and
he
waffles.
Doesn't get
I don't
it.
Get it. Like waffles. Are, I like waffles and I like chicken, but
it's like
I don't
superior
understand
the brunch
thing.
Food.
Yeah. And then you just
it's the,
put syrup
it's the
on
brunch
it?
Of kings and councilmen.
That's it. There you go.
Oh, for God's sake. It wasn't that good. You're right.
We might have to bring you in for some PR.
Will you do it? Will you eat that?
I don't. I'd have to separate. I can't put maple syrup on the chicken.
Yeah.
Tried it?
No, I wouldn't.
No, I can't say.
So you're telling me you can't do it, but you haven't tried it yet.
That's true. That's a mom thing. That's what I would say.
Try it out at Oktoberfest.
There you go. It's a deal.
All right, there you go. All right, sounds good.
All right, guys.
Thank you guys very much. We appreciate being on the podcast.
So, I mean, super cool story here, too, that we have to talk about prior. Bobby Cherry is our conduit. Right,
he's a conduit to everything. He's Pittsburgh's Kevin Bacon.
He really is. 6 degrees of Cherry.
He's gonna love that.
Right? 6 degrees of Cherry.
He's a Christmas version of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, there you go. But you know, I had the pleasure of meeting Laura about a year ago through you, Bobby Cherry, at his little birthday soiree. And you know,
how old was he?
Yeah. Oh, I know, right? And so we're so happy to, you know, talk to people who do good things. That's a lot of what, you know, we started out all things Pittsburgh, but then it became Pittsburgh is full of good things.
Yes.
But it's so important to highlight, especially times like this, the things that we're doing. Because let's face it, times aren't great right now, but nonprofits are still in need. They're still there. And they're still, you know, and I don't know about you ladies, but we said the same thing. It's hard to say, when do you start asking for help? Because we all need help, right?
Right.
So that's my intro for these ladies from Autism Speaks. And we have Amy and Laura from Autism Speaks.
And in the meantime, there's competition in a nice way because there are, as we just talked about, there are servers, there are performers. Uh-huh. They're all having a hard time, right? Yes. So not only are all the normal nonprofits, you know, the standard nonprofits, now we have more.
And in
the meantime, businesses in general, their business is down in some cases. So talk to us about, first of all, what you do. Amy, what is Autism Speaks?
Well, Autism Speaks is, we just turned 15 years old.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Teenage years.
Yeah. You know, we are an organization that fights for, you know, solutions for each individual across the spectrum. As you know, autism is not just one disease, it's multiple. Sure. Areas that people are challenged with. So, you know, we look for solutions to help them across the spectrum, but throughout the lifespan. So I know you were just talking to them about transition programs. So,
sure.
You know, not just children, but children moving into adulthood and adults. And, you know, we really are a research-based organization, but we also give back. So we are not a direct service provider. So if somebody said, oh, do you have this program? Do you have that? No, we provide grants and support the TAP program and the, you know, the Marikis of the world and the Wesley Family Services that are in our region. You know, if some of you have heard of those nonprofits, you know, we support them. We, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats. So the money that we raise goes to research to help find those new, you know, breakthrough treatments and things of that nature, you know, to help people live a better, more inclusive life. But we also give back locally. So, you know, we're so fortunate. You know, you talk about Pittsburgh. It's such much good work being done. A lot of people don't understand how much, you know, not just cancer research and other research. There's a lot of autism research being done in Pittsburgh.
Right.
We currently have a grant. A $750,000 grant in play at the University of Pittsburgh with our friend Dr. Carla. I always mess up her name.
No worries.
Sorry, Carla. Mefeski, I think. Anyway, she's just, they've been involved on the Lord's
sure.
Like, sure. You know, but that's just one example of, you know, when we raise money, we're giving back. So
plus, we had enough talk about Slippery Rock. We needed Pitt in there at some point.
We did. Go Pitt.
Hell to Pete.
I can't say this.
I'm from Ohio.
Word, right?
I'm a Buckeyes fan.
Uh-oh.
Ask Laura, who's fan. She is a...
What is it,
Go
Laura?
Go ahead, Laura.
Go Blue.
Oh.
Michigan.
She's a Michigan fan. Whoa. I'm a Ohio State fan, and I still hired her.
Wow. Yeah, that would be true,
that's
huh?
That's a big deal.
Yeah, wow.
So that's who we are.
Yeah, but it's so true. It is the importance, like you said, it takes an army, first of all. And I know that most nonprofits are small, so you have to reach out to people because, let's face it, the unfortunate part is there's so many needs. So people have to relate to what the need is.
And the need doesn't go away.
And the need doesn't go away. Oh, so we know that you are very, I know, Laura, you have done a lot of organizing. for various things. And I know the walk that you guys have done before has really done, right? It was supposed to be this weekend, is that right? So talk a little bit about the things that you're doing to raise the awareness that Amy spoke about.
So as you just mentioned, you know, like many other organizations, one of our pivot points in the organization with awareness and bringing the community together is walk programs. So, you know, that five-letter word has made an interruption for
us.
We
don't talk about it.
We don't talk about that five-letter word.
O-V-I-D.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Pittsburgh specifically was to be in the spring. We postponed, waiting to see how things would change. And we were pretty creative, and we're doing similar to the car parades. It was going to be really a lot of fun. It was actually excited. Families were excited. And literally just this week, we had to make the decision to go ahead. Sorry, John. Sorry. But we did have to make the decision this week to completely go virtual with the walk. So talking to families this week, they were really looking forward to, sure, even though being in a car, they were going to be with their peers.
They're going to get out of the house.
And get out of the house, right, you know. So so that's one of the things. And, you know, it's...
Well, and not only that, isn't it even that camaraderie of knowing, hey, we're in this together.
Right.
Right? There's some kind of, I don't know, solace in knowing that, hey, well, like, you get it.
It's where, it's the place that they can be safe and not be judged.
Sure.
For what may happen.
Sure.
You know, with a child that, you know, just may not be able to... be in certain environments or sensory-friendly environments, things like that. It's safe, and they all know they're all in the same boat. So, that's what made a difference in for this weekend was going to make a bigger difference. But they're trooping on, and they're doing virtual. Yeah, we do. We have something really exciting coming up, and this I love because you know I love food.
So let's tease that. Let's tease that because I have a question for you. So we have something big coming up that you guys are about to talk about,
to uncover.
Right? Yes. Yeah. So let's keep them hanging and talk about how either one of you, how adaptive has Pittsburgh become? You know, I'm thinking of like students in the third, fourth, fifth grade that, you know, when I went to third, fourth, fifth grade, we were not integrated in this kind of way, right? Where is Pittsburgh on that map as far as being, you're grade 5, 10, or, I mean, you know, or am I putting in a tough spot?
Actually, we could probably tag team it. One of the things that, you know, Pittsburgh Pride, again, is there's a school for autism children.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first in the country. I can't remember how old they
are. Oh, is that right?
The Spectrum Charter School. Monroeville was one of the first charter schools in the country that was specifically for children on the spectrum.
But, you know, to be honest with you, though, it's, you know, you still have that. But then the integration into basically mainstreaming has really, really improved. And one of the things that we do is advocating for better services and things like that, and the services that are provided in the schools have really improved. There's even autism-specific special education programs and how they can integrate them. So it's improved.
Are there more diagnoses of autism at this point, or because something's happened over the years, or we're just knowing how to diagnose it? Like, probably in my day, there were people that
or levels
should
up,
have been
right?
diagnosed,
because there's
right?
different degrees and levels of what that is.
I do believe that, you know, I'll jump in and say most recently, you know, the CDC came out and said 1 in 54 children are diagnosed.
Okay.
That is down from, you know, 68 in the past and 88, and, you know, over the years it just keeps. And I think truly it's better awareness. You know, we really push for early intervention and early diagnosis.
So physician education?
Physician education, parental. The first person who's going to notice is going to be the parents. They're going to know something's up.
Sure.
They have to push. You know, maybe sometimes it's the school teacher that notices, the kindergarten teacher, the first grade teacher, you know. But people can go on our website right now, and if they even have an inkling that they think something's up, they can take a quiz that's completely, you know, anonymous that says, might want to talk to your pediatrician. Here are some questions to ask.
It's interactive in that way. I have to say, because as I told you, I have gone there as a resource for other things and for this, and very helpful.
So I really think that the diagnosis rate is going up, not because there's a new cause or anything like that. Is that we're just becoming more aware of
it.
And it's probably always been prevalent, but just, and you know. and it's a good thing because it the sooner a child is diagnosed, the sooner the intervention starts, the better off that they're going
and
to
it has
be.
To be a tough thing for a parent to make that decision, you know, like something's not right right now, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's challenging to come to terms with it.
Right. And, you know, as a, from a parent's perspective, don't we know that sometimes you're all over the place because there's so many things that you're thinking of that sometimes it's overwhelming.
Yes.
And you want to see, is this the case? So to be able to start there to kind of calm your fears or say, okay, this isn't calming my fears. What's the next step?
Right. And our number one resource on our website that people download is our newly diagnosed toolkit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or in the first 100 days to help a parent navigate the scary situation.
Sure.
Or in some cases, and I touch Laura because I know she knows some volunteers that'll say, no, it was actually a relief.
Sure. Like, right. That's what I mean. Yeah. Right.
So now that I know what it is, what
let's
do we
deal.
Have to do?
Yeah, let's deal.
Let's make a plan.
Yep.
All right, Laura.
Laura,
big news.
Roll.
We have
What's
big
the
things
news?
Happening
confetti.
Here, right?
Cue the confetti.
We're going to sell some tickets.
Or the fish poop. It says right there. I love fish poop. Cue it.
Can we use a barrel for a drum?
Oh, yeah. Good.
Let's tap a barrel. Oh, no, I want a live barrel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you meant really tap the barrel.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
What
she
really
tapped the barrel. No. So, pretty exciting, you know, that four-letter, five-letter word, whatever it is. Anyway, every year we have what's called our Chefs Create Gala, where it is we pair chefs around the city of Pittsburgh and elsewhere, some really cool chefs. We pair them with a family and a child. And get the characteristics of the child and different foods, what they like, are they adventurous or do they like, you know, balls or do they like whatever, you know, butterflies.
Chicken fingers and fries.
And so they make it upscale, which is like lobster mac and cheese instead of mac and cheese and hot dogs, you know.
Okay.
Kind of thing. No, but it is. And last year my favorite was a seafood chowder that the kid was adventurous and loved seafood. So they made this amazing seafood chowder. So it's we usually get what about 15 chefs something like that,
about 300 people,
and you know, it's an evening of fun and food and drinks and great auction prizes, stuff like that. But so this year I'm actually a little excited about this because this is more fun to me because I like to cook.
Okay.
All right. So this year we have Chef Anthony Marino from Don's Appliances. Chef Honesty Best.
Okay. Honesty has her own catering company. She's a mom of a child on the spectrum. So she's coming on board with Anthony.
Yeah, right. That's great.
Yeah. Yep. And so actually at their, I don't know if they call it their studio. Or
yeah, their service, their kitchen. Water,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
right out there. In
their think tank or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, Lawrenceville. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to do a live show, cooking show, doing from the appetizer all the way through. And you can purchase a couple of tickets. You could purchase tickets for a family of four, up to 10, whatever's safe. Let's keep that in mind. This is in November, the week before Thanksgiving. So Saturday evening, get dressed up in your best digs, put your prettiest apron on, and we are going to deliver a basket of ingredients.
Yep. Love it.
Everything. Ingredients, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you don't cook,
and then some.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually had one of our volunteers yesterday say, send me the information because my wife doesn't cook. And I'm thinking, but you have to cook the meal.
Someone
and he goes, well, she'll learn.
There you go. Yeah.
That's the way to start, right?
Yeah.
One of our families is going to be there with them live in studio, the Meese family. So Anthony Marino, Italian.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that. And
his dad's from Abruzzo, too. I have to tell the mayor.
Oh.
We actually had that conversation.
He loves the camera. So he's going to be fantastic. He's been with Chefs Create from day one. So this would have been his eighth year.
Oh, wow.
Anthony's been like one of the first ones.
That's awesome.
And Don's Appliances has been so generous to us, you know, offering up their location. But the Meese family, little Donna is 5. Huge Italian family.
Yeah.
So, of course, the meal is Italian.
Okay.
So I think we need to find a beer or something.
Yeah. No doubt.
For sure.
Yes.
In the basket
there you go.
To go with our meal.
Bob's the guy.
Yeah.
For sure.
So he's going to cook
dinner.
Oh,
he's
going
to do it live.
Yep.
And
you cook it with him.
You can cook along at home or you can sit and watch and make it later. But we will deliver everything you need plus, you know, some other fun
I love it.
And so we're talking about the aquaponics too.
Yeah.
So there's
so
yeah.
an interesting connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
What's the date though? And it is it a gala? Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah. It's okay. Just Create Gala. It's
okay.
November 21st.
Okay.
7
November 21st.
PM.
See, so you're worried about Thanksgiving and all that. You don't want to have to. Worry.
Yeah,
you're thawing your
Italian.
Turkey. So this is a great meal. You don't even have to go out and buy it.
You would totally do this.
Oh,
well, you know
what?
It's the weekend. Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's the weekend of Light Up Night.
Light Up Night.
So
Friday
who
night.
Knows what's Okay. What that's going to look like.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, great weekend to cook, have even, you know, when you have the Friendsgiving, you could do this instead of the family thing. Yeah,
right.
You could do this.
Because the packages are dinner for two, dinner for four, or dinner for ten. So you could have your, you know,
family
acceptable distance, you know.
Listen, dinner for eight at the Rennebeck family. Because there are five of them that eat like eight. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And if you don't cook.
Hey, fatty. Did you hear him?
Growing boys.
Did you hear him?
She is growing boys.
This is the fourth time he said something like that to me.
If you don't want to cook and you just want to support us, you can still just make a donation. We'll give you access to the live stream. You get access to our sweet auction prizes.
Yeah, where are people going to watch it? On your Facebook page?
No, we will send out a link special.
All right, cool.
So
you have to pay.
Get a ticket.
Don't be cheap and think you're going
to,
well, I'm just going to get this on Facebook tonight.
No, you're not.
No.
No.
Buy a ticket.
He just heckled people.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm one of those yinzers. All right, so. So we have a question of the day, right?
Ladies, first of all, before we go to the question of the day, thank you so much for traveling the trek up 79, right?
I'm sorry, I just didn't bring my dog.
Right. I know. It's very dog friendly. Where can everybody find you? Anyone who is looking for resources or looking for someone else or just to be in the know or to find out about this amazing event, where are they looking?
So easiest place to remember is autismspeaks.org. You can put in your zip code and find out what event's coming up. Because we actually have some other events that are going to come up in the spring that are still that five-letter word friendly
clay
no matter
shoe.
What happens.
Clay shoe.
Clay shoe, yeah. So, you know, that's the easiest way because then there's also the resources, you know, you can, whether it's an IEP or newly diagnosed or whatever, find an event, find a walk, whatever you want to, make a donation. You know,
that's
always make a donation.
Listen.
But Chef's is act.autismspeaks.org/ this is long, Chef's Create Pittsburgh. Or PGH.
So we will put, if you're listening to the podcast, don't fall off the treadmill looking for a pen.
Don't wreck your car. Don't worry.
Just go to the website, yajagoff.com, and the links will be
there.
Colin will
put
it in there.
Colin's the best.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot right now. He's driving us back here.
Right.
He's getting beers. He said, hold on the video.
I didn't know we had to bring a designated driver here.
That's the way we roll.
I know.
That's the place we are at the Yajagoff podcast.
Yeah.
There you go. So, ladies, here's the question of the day. It's always the coveted, like, can't wait for this to happen.
Is it different than everybody else's?
Nope.
It's the same question. Everybody gets it.
We
no, you're not supposed to practice. See, they broke the rules.
They were supposed to put
no question of the day for you.
Rachel, such a. We need a soundproof booth. Can we have a sponsor for
a
soundproof booth?
We do. We need
a soundproof.
I'll work on that for you.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. So you're together or you're talking to someone and you say, I'll have a beer with dot, dot, dot.
Aww.
Beer
it's the same
and,
question. You said you rehearsed it. I mean, you cannot say
I would like
Rachel's
my
no
beer.
Heckling.
Hers is funnier.
I just said I would like my beer along with the side of something tall, dark, handsome, and single.
Boom.
There you go.
There
All
you
right.
go.
All
there
right.
There you go.
Laura said,
I think it was bourbon. Or a shot.
Shot, yeah.
Wow.
All right.
I don't know. There you
beer
go.
Beer and a shot.
He's bourbon. Beer.
Yeah.
No. It's
beer.
Tempting.
Yeah.
This is
a great location.
Great.
It is.
That we have out, we've had the entire time because it's their beer. Like I feel like we're Wayne and Garth. Like, we need our lanyard to say we're not worthy because we're drinking these, and the beer is fantastic.
I love the fact that we took Melinda to Sarah's Chocolate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's like, I need to return the favor and get you guys some beer.
Yeah, she's
right.
A good
so
person.
We need to just continue this process. Right.
Wonder
we're
what's
going
next.
For steaks later. So first
three main food groups. Right.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
Exactly.
We not just steak. I'm a vegetarian.
Oh,
okay.
Well,
all right.
I'm not a vegetarian,
right.
but I'm not a meat eater.
Red meat.
I was a vegetarian at one point, but I've introduced chicken and fish again. But not
so,
Yeah.
Here we are. Tell us about what you guys are up to, Melinda.
I mean, it's Melinda and the Night Sky. I mean, we did not have the whole band before, this is pretty exciting, right?
Well,
and,
I mean, and you still don't have the whole band.
I know. Well,
but
we have some.
But this is more band than last time.
Yeah, we're getting somewhere, right? Yeah.
The cool thing is, I know people don't make albums anymore, therefore album cover art is dead. But the fact is, you have beer cover art, which is totally awesome.
Thank you.
Right?
The art for this beer, we were just over the moon about it. We loved it.
Yeah, and talk about, and we got your press release, and we thought, wow, this is cool. Life continues to go on, and unfortunately, you don't always go back to it, right? The beauty of Pittsburgh is that we had you on a podcast because we said, we haven't had you on. As John said, you mentioned this, and it's like, my gosh, this is a whole other story that's so worth talking about. How did that start with you? How's your connection here?
Yeah, and thanks for having me back.
Absolutely.
I thought you guys would be sick of me.
No, no, very good. You're becoming the Saturday Night Live guest that's like, oh, she's on again.
You're the Steve Martin of the Yajaga podcast.
I'm fine with that.
Good.
So there are so many different collaborations that support local. So Patrick Morris, who's here today, who is part of the North Country Brewing team. We went to high school together, so there's a connection back to Woody High.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously he knew what we were doing with the band, and I knew the brewery. We had been out here with the band so many times and just loved it. And we just start talking about having a beer, and here we are. And it's just... there's so many different ways that this beer supports local, right? From local music to local artists to the local brewery. And we thought if there's any better time to have a drink, it's 2020.
I mean, that's well said. And it can introduce the rest of the part of the band because we don't have everybody yet. So who else do we get?
We don't have everybody, but we have some amazing rock stars with us. We have Christian Habenicht, who is on guitar and does our sound and production.
Sure.
And Mark
Rice. I do all the things that aren't singing.
There you go.
Same.
Website.
Same.
And he also plays guitar.
Okay. Right. Okay. And who else do we have?
We have Mark Reisman, harmonica player extraordinaire.
Hi, I'm Mark.
I think I've met you before, harmonica I have to say.
Player.
Well,
that's
I played with the Iron City House Rockers and Joe Grushecki.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, and my dad is Johnny Angel. So I think I've seen you with him. Yeah.
I know that place. He's got that place on the north side.
Atrius. Yeah. Unfortunately, the PNC location...
But he has Johnny Angel's Ginchy stuff.
Yes, he does. He actually opened a museum, and that's the picture you saw. You guys have to come see all
these. Yes, please.
It's amazing. Yeah, I mean, we love music, so no better music to love than yours.
Thank you.
So what is it like? You know, we talked to Melinda before about COVID. We're getting through COVID. Everybody's dealing. It is what it is. But talk a little bit about how music has changed with you guys. I mean, even from being, you know, Pittsburgh-based and what it's like now. Whoever wants
to
start.
Well, I mean, for me, it's very interesting because what I've been doing through it, aside from not playing anywhere near as much as I was, a couple studio sessions, which was, you know, really nice. And went in to do a video and audio shoot with the House Rockers. And actually, because it's the 40th anniversary of the second record, Have a Good Time to Get Out Alive. So we actually cut four of those tunes live at a studio in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And hopefully there's going to be more, and we're actually going to release a live record one of these days.
One of these days.
So, yeah. And I played my block party last week.
That's so cool. What is that?
Where I live, the block where I live.
Get out.
With Phil Toms, if you know
about
Phil.
Okay, I do. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What a small world. He said they did a block party. Like you just.
Okay.
And that's becoming more and more common, right? That's what people are doing because you have to.
It's outdoors.
Keep it there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's outdoors.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah. Awesome.
So that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Actually, I was going to say, so, you know, we've obviously not been playing live very much.
Right. Sure.
That would be deadly,
yes.
You know, which is insane. But we have been writing, we have been recording. But also, you know, that has gotten slower because this is something I thought about. Like, right when this started and it was, like, clear that, like, oh, okay, we're gonna have to hunker down a little bit here, right? Didn't realize it was going to be this long. But when that happened, I thought to myself, oh, maybe we'll make the best of this. We'll get some writing done. We'll do some other stuff.
Good intentions.
Yeah.
Yes.
But one of the things that I've learned so far, which I think is worth mentioning, it's like, you know, this whole thing is fairly unprecedented. It's scary. And it's a lot of stress. And it's not easy to be creative when so much other stuff is kind of going wrong.
That's a great point, yeah.
So it's like, we're trying to make the best of it, like everybody is.
Yeah.
But it's also, I want to make sure people who might be listening too, it's like, you know, I feel like, you know, when I hear other artists are like, oh yeah, I wrote like 3 albums. It's like, man, I feel really bad now.
Well,
like,
you know, I'm trying to think of who we had on the podcast because we asked them about, well, why don't you just write songs and put them out? And their answer was, I didn't even think of it. They said, well, because people, by the time you play them out, then you, people are bored with them. If it's 8 months now and you're out playing, they're like, wait, we heard that. Play something new. And you're like, wait, that is new.
That is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing, too, is like people don't realize how long it takes. Like I read something about how like 2 years from now, there's going to be no movies.
Yeah.
Like in 2022, no movies are going to come out because they're not making them this year. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
But they're being used for other things, so
right.
they repurpose
right.
somehow,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But I get it because I'm not nearly as talented as you guys because I thought the pandemic was going to be short, so I binge watched Tiger King.
Right.
And I'm like,
right.
Like,
this will do it.
And I'm like, okay, I'm done, right? And then it's like, oh, God. It's like a plane ride to Australia. You sleep and you go, wait, there's 24 more hours.
Seriously,
to go.
Right.
Like, what the hell? So, Melinda, how did you guys all get to meet each other as far as the band?
Because you went back and forth. You're a Pittsburgh native, mm-hmm. moved away, but they sucked you back in, right?
Sucked me back in. It's the whole boomerang thing. Had to come back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So Christian and I met at Berklee College of Music.
Oh, wow.
And we also got married after that.
Okay.
So. I thought so.
Same day. Right? Yeah.
It was a big party.
That was really good, yeah.
They were in Vegas.
Yeah, right.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Okay. I recognize your picture. I didn't see you without the mask.
Right.
I was like, I've seen from her Facebook. I'm like, I think that's the husband.
Yeah, like, I think that's that guy. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
okay.
then we moved to LA for about 5 years.
Okay.
And made music out in LA. Both worked in industry. Christian worked for a record label, and that's where I was working for Live Nation and Universal Music.
Sure.
But, you know, we loved LA, both of us. And Christian's from California, he really loved LA. So I actually dragged him back to Pittsburgh.
Got it.
Which you've been, Christian, you love it though.
No, Pittsburgh's awesome.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah. No, it's funny. Like, I mean, I grew up in the Bay Area and, you know, when I was telling friends and family, like, yeah, we're going to move to Pittsburgh because at the time we were living in LA.
They were like, what?
They say you
all of them
were
like, why are you doing that? Like, because they don't know anything. Like, growing up in California, you know nothing. There's nothing. You have no idea what's going on. Right.
Yeah.
Over here. And I was telling them, I was like, no. Like, I've been there a bunch. Like, it's a super cool city. The food's killer. People are awesome. Like, all this stuff. And then, like, we moved and, like, within a year, we bought a house because you can.
Yeah.
You know?
Like,
and like,
that's true.
Like, all my friends in California are like, dude, you must be, like, killing it. And I'm like, no, you can afford a house. Like, you don't.
Like, I'm not killing it, but.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not killing it, but you don't need $1 million to buy a house, man. Like, you know, come on over.
You are,
you know?
Killing it because it's so amazing.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So the specialty of the harmonica, do you do something else as well? But, I mean, the harmonica, to me, a harmonica is like a horn section. When you hear one of those things, it takes the song to yet another
level.
So you're like you are literally the rock star of rock stars with a harmonica.
Well, I like that.
Sure,
can I use that?
Dude, I'm a fanboy. Yeah.
That's cool. That's
it's
very
such
cool.
He'll be following you on Facebook.
It's like a crazy thing, like a trombone. You don't know where any of the damn notes are, right?
Right.
But in the meantime, so talk about playing the harmonica and what else.
Well, you know, and actually when I play, actually with almost anybody I play with, including with Melinda, I am thinking about horn parts. And you have
Dude,
to.
That sounds smart.
Knew. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to, otherwise you're that harmonica player that's just like, will he please shut up and quit playing? You know? And so you have to start thinking in terms of parts. And the natural reference is a horn section. And in fact, I've listened to a lot of sax and trumpet players, and you know, one of my fave players is Magic Dick from the Jay Giles Band.
Okay.
And he definitely had that orientation. If you listen to those records, he is their horn section, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's a great.
So,
yeah.
And I I played clarinet for 7 years through high school, which isn't a horn.
No.
So forget that. But then.
I was all in. I'm the dumb guy. I was
like,
all in.
I was like, he doesn't know.
Right. And when I started playing at the end of my senior year at Pitt, you know, everybody's like, "Oh, you play harmonica. What else do you play, man?" You know. So I just just to get in bands, I started playing saxophone.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. So, so that was all part of it, though. Okay. I think just shaping the way I play. And
I love it. So, yeah, but so we have to get to the question of the day. But first, where does everybody find your band and follow you guys?
And how do we support the fact that your beer and this beautiful picture and that you have the most percent of alcohol in the beer? Just saying.
That wasn't by accident.
I was like, I said, John, I really want to try Melinda's beer. And it's 7.2%. That's what I said. So there you go. But how can people help support? Because as we said before when we were talking to all the folks from NCB, they're so philanthropic.
They are.
Yours is actually affiliated with Save the Stage, right?
Or it's actually affiliated with another COVID relief fund for musicians.
Gotcha.
So 5% of the sales from this beer are going to go directly to a fund that's going to help working musicians that have been affected by this. And yeah, you can check us out. It's melindainthenightsky.com. Follow us on social media at Melinda in the Night Sky. And we just put some merchandise up on the site. We have a new single coming out on October 2nd.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Cool. See, it's like every time you come on, you have a different single.
We
so
do.
It's you have to come on in November for a reason.
There we go.
Right.
There you go.
Well, if I can pile on that too.
Absolutely.
If you want to help us, go to the website, follow on Spotify, follow on Apple Music, on Bandcamp, follow on whatever you listen to music
whatever
on. There's
platform,
a million of them,
right? Absolutely.
If you want a shirt, you can buy a shirt. They're very cool shirts. And actually, the artist, Nina Zivkovic, she's a local Pittsburgh artist.
Okay.
She did this. She's done the album covers for the last single we did and the single that's coming out.
Okay.
Like, follow her stuff. Instagram. I mean, all that stuff. Like,
dude,
basically,
be local.
All
be
the
local.
Stuff that you should be following them on, follow us on.
Yeah. Right.
That's how it
Listen
works.
To the California
Listen,
guy.
You're on the toilet 12 hours a day, right?
You know what I'm saying?
You go up and down your Instagram page. Yeah.
No, seriously,
all right.
You're so right. It's support local. And, you know, coming from, I don't care what walk of life you come from, everyone has suffered from this in some way.
Yep.
But we certainly have a soft spot for performers, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, service industry, so many people were hit, but this is a way of life, and it was literally taken from people. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it. And so you have to reinvent. But kudos to you guys because you're continuing through the trek, and you have amazing talent. So
Question of the day. Ready? Here
Ready?
We go.
You each have to ask
you do
the answer,
it.
Though.
Do it.
All right. Hey, I'll have a beer and a... What's going along with your beer, Melinda?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'll have a beer and a guitar.
There you go.
Okay.
That's a good
Christian.
One.
A beer and a nap.
That's a good one.
That's what I want.
At my age, you're right.
You know?
You're up. Harmonica. Say harmonica.
And a harmonica.
Oh, thank you. Oh,
he plays peer pressure. He plays requests.
I bet.
Thank
you guys so much.
Awesome. We really
appreciate
it.
Follow them. They're amazing.
So we got to thank everybody. Thanks to Melinda and the Night Sky for coming on. Thanks to Amy and Laura from
Autism Speaks. And the whole gang from You Down With NCB. Yeah, you know me. Did you love that?
Did you love it? I did love that.
It's a little dorky, but I can't help myself.
Yeah. So, and also, thanks to Colin. Thanks to Larry for coming out here to help us out. Thanks to Rurik Honda because it's like the great and powerful Oz, or actually a bunch of Oz's there.
Yeah.
They have all the answers but smart car buying, and no curtain to sit behind. I just missed that.
We'll edit that.
There's no curtain to sit behind.
They are transparent about when to buy or when to lease and what financing works best. Plus, you can count on a showroom full of models like CRVs, Odysseys, Fits, and more. Online help is always available. And as always, visit Rorick.com for all of your vehicle needs. Boom.
I can see your tongue is twisted. Down. Can I keep up when I listen? Nothing's coming out of your mouth now. Say what you mean. Tell me what's on your mind. Say what you mean. No more lies, just testify right now. Time to stand around waiting, wondering what you're all about. I think I know what you're really saying. Don't think you can figure it out now. Say what you mean. Tell me what's on your mind. Say what you mean. No more lies, just testify right now.
see it even clearer when you know you've got a tail. Just like Chuck